If you would, let's open up our Bibles to Revelation chapter 2. Let's have a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we are so thankful for your goodness to us, your love, your mercy, your kindness, your patience. Dear Lord, there's endless words we can use for your goodness. And we are so thankful that you're our God. Dear Lord, we're thankful that we have confidence, dear Lord, that you cannot fail. Amen. Heavenly Father, you cannot falter in any way, shape, or form, dear Heavenly Father, that you're true in every way also, dear Heavenly Father. And Lord, you can guide us and help us. And dear Lord, sometimes as we may try to walk a little forward or lag behind sometimes, Lord, you're patient with us, dear Lord, and we're so thankful for that. And dear Lord, we're thankful for your word that you give to us, dear Lord, as we brought a week or so ago, where Paul mentioned that your word is sharper than any two-edged sword. And Lord, we know that the word of God can pierce us sometimes. One time you said to Paul, it's hard for you, Paul, to kick against the pricks. And sometimes the word of God can prick our soul, dear Lord. And when it does that, it's because you love us. To show us you have we have a need, dear Heavenly Father, to measure up, dear Lord, to be blessed, to have that wonderful peace that we sang about, dear Lord. So, dear Heavenly Father, we are certainly thankful for the word, and Lord, we want to eat it up as much as we can, dear Heavenly Father. We want to have an understanding of it as much as we can, dear Lord, through the helping of the Spirit of God, dear Lord, that we may grow, we may be pleasing to you, dear Heavenly Father. Dear Lord, the world has a lot of opinions and ideas. But, dear Heavenly Father, we want to keep our minds fixed on what the Spirit directs to us in our minds through the Word, and we'll certainly thank you for that. We ask you to bless each and every one that's here this morning. We ask you to encourage them, dear Heavenly Father. Anoint the Word, anoint me, and I'll bring as you would have us to. In Jesus' name, amen. Of course, here we are, the 4th, I think, 4th or 5th of March, and want to continue to remember our revival at the end of the month. With Brother John, may God bless him. Be much in prayer for that. It'll be here before you know it. Revelations, we know that the book of Revelations is a spiritual book. Many times people will try to literalize Revelations. It's not a literal book. It doesn't deal with Russia and China and the United States and different things. It doesn't deal with literal wars in this world. It doesn't deal with those things that many people try to influence other ones about. It is a spiritual application, a spiritual book. And we know here that John is the writer of this book. And John was put on the island of Patmos. He was exiled there for preaching and things. And some of the authorities and the Greeks and everything, they stuck him there, no doubt, to die. Because they were so irate with him how he was preaching the word of God. And while he was there, and I was thinking about that, while he was there, God gave him this revelation. God gave him these understanding of a spiritual world here. And I thought about this as I was doing this lesson a little bit this week. And as just a little side note, saints, we need to be encouraged sometimes when we have some real severe battles. When we go into certain scenarios that are troubling to us or trying to us and things, and we may pray the Lord deliver us out of that thing. But I'm going to tell you, sometimes in those times is where God can bless us and help us to see a little deeper spiritually. You know, when things are going smooth and everything's well, nobody's in the hospital, your family's well, the sun's shining, and everything's beautiful. There's no trials, and our prayers may be somewhat minimum sometimes. As I said a little bit, me back before I became pastor, let me tell you what, you get into some real deep, serious prayers with God when the burdens are hard. And here John is on the Isle of Patmos, and no doubt he's sent there, exiled there, and God gave him the revelation here that we have today. And many of these things we don't know a lot about. We can pick a little bit here and there. We have a chart here. I haven't opened up in a long time. Not going to do that today either. But we have a chart here. The black one is a screen, but the chart on the other side is a revelation chart. And it talks about from the time of Christ when he was crucified
down to that time when the chart was made, I believe it was the 1980s, and all gospel time down through there, and symbols and signs that people have tried to draw and preach from that chart. But this morning, we're going to look at something else, and in verse 11 of chapter 2, he says here, "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit said unto the churches. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death." I know we got started a little bit late, but you bear with me with some things. I feel some things we need to take slower over. But I'm reading that verse here that John wrote in chapter 2. "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit said unto the churches." Unto you. You're the churches. We're the churches. We're a part of God's church. Let the Spirit, let us hear what the Spirit says. And saints, I believe as saints of God, true saints of God, consecrated saints of God, we need to really endeavor to hear, not necessarily with these physical ears, but with a spiritual ear, what the Spirit of God is telling us and directing us and instructing us. Because the world has a great influence sometimes in what we may hear from them. And he said there that he that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. Thank God. You know, in one sense, there's two deaths. Okay? In one sense, I was going to say there's three. When we're born into this world, we're born innocent before God. And until the time we come to the age of understanding the difference between right and wrong, the difference between sin, we're innocent before God. And if we were to die in any time of that age, in that age, we don't know what that age really is. It could be anywhere from 10 to 12 or 15. And sometimes it can be older, it can be younger of understanding. But if we die, God takes us to heaven. Don't ever let anybody tell you that when a child is born, they need to be baptized in order to go to heaven. If a child is born and dies within a day or so after, or hours right after their birth, then God takes them to heaven. And any time from that time till whatever age, in the young age, 10, 11, 9, whatever, if God takes them home, they're innocent. But when they come to the place of understanding between right and wrong, and the Bible lets us know that every single soul will sin. Every single soul will come to the understanding of right and wrong, and every single soul, even at a young age, 10, 11, 12, 15, they will travel the path of wrong. And they will sin. And when that happens, there will be a separation between their soul and God. And until they come to a place to where God deals with the hearts and they repent from sin and they get saved again, that's the only time that they can have a relationship with God. But if they live out their entire life and they reject God, they reject the gospel, they reject the word of God, and they come to the place, now that would be the first death, a spiritual death. When they sin, that's the first spiritual death that they have. But then there comes a physical death that we also have. And then everybody will go to that physical death except what we have in the Bible of Enoch. Enoch didn't die. He just went with God. I guess in a sense, Elijah didn't either. He just went with God. Enoch was not. But then we come to a physical death. And then at that physical death, we'll stand before God and we'll be given account of the deeds done in this body. And he says here, if you've ever come, if you've listened to the Spirit, you heard what the Spirit of God said to you as the churches, he that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. And you can get later in the Revelation, I think 21 or 22 chapter there. He says, he that is not found in the book of life shall be cast into the pit of hell, and that shall be the second death. There is no coming from that. There is no salvation, no coming back from a second death. A separation from God. But what I want to look at this morning, and I read that verse, And there's a word in that verse that we're going to look at this morning. And we're going to look at this chapter. And he writes, John writes, and Jesus tells him, telling the write to the churches, the seven churches here. And actually, I think I might have wanted to read it. I will leave it. So he tells them to write unto the seven churches here, which are at Asia. And I'm going to look at a couple of the different ones here. In chapter 2, verse 1, he is writing to the church at Ephesus.
And in verse 8, that was verse 1. Verse 8, he writes to Smyrna. In verse 12, he writes to Pergamos. And in verse 18, he writes to Thyatira. And these different, and he writes the three different verses that God gives him to the churches. I'm going to read these three verses and take a thought out of these. Verse 7 in chapter 2, he says, similar to what we read earlier, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit said unto the churches. To him that overcometh, will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. Verse 12, and the angel of the church of Pergamos, write these things, said he unto them with a sharp, verse 17, chapter 1. And he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit said unto the churches. To him that overcometh, will I give to eat the hidden manna, and he will give him a white stone, and in a stone a new name written, which no man knoweth, save in he that receiveth it. And in verse 26, he that overcometh and keepeth my words unto the end, keepeth my work unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations. And then he goes on into chapter 3, and he talks about the other three churches, and he gives them instructions also the same. This is chapter 3 and verse 5. And he says, he that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. Verse 12, and he that overcometh, will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out, and I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, which is the New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from God, and I will write upon him a new name. And in verse 21, and to him that overcometh, will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. I read one particular word in every one of those verses. He that overcometh. Overcome. Christ told Paul, it is needful that we overcome the enemy of our soul. It is needful that we overcome the spirit of this world. It is needful that we overcome self. That we put ourselves on the altar. That we consecrate ourselves on our sin, the things of God. Are we overcoming all adversities in our lives? Our reward is to them that overcomes. Sometimes I like to pause. I like to pause. I say things and I want some things to stick, overcome. There's not a one of us in here this morning that doesn't understand the thought of overcoming anything in the world. We have to overcome some things. I told you a little bit ago. When I got saved, there was not even a small glimpse of thought that I'd ever be preaching the gospel. I was very shy. I was very bashful. Most of you know my education is reading and things. We're taught. I know that. And when God said, how about you to sing? I'm like, no, there's no way. But God told me that. And Brother Davis's family was very musical and things. And his daughter Amelia was a great help to me. And they started to help me in sings. And the first time, I couldn't do it by myself. There was somebody else came and sang with me. And nerves. I had to overcome that. Not that I was putting self on display, and I knew that. I knew it wasn't put. But as the Bible says, God gives gifts to the body to edify the body of Christ. So whatever gift God may give to you, or ability that God gives to you to use for the edification of the body, sometimes we have to overcome. And being in front of people, there's not a one of us in here probably that don't have to understand we have to overcome. But we understand the word overcome, but it's one thing to overcome to submit ourselves to something and subject ourselves to something, but in living for God, we have to overcome some things. That's true. And you're not going to live for God 1, I'll give you 6 months.
Not even that. Maybe a couple weeks. You're going to have to learn to come, overcome. When you get saved, when you ask God to repent, when you repent from sin and you ask God to save you, there may even be that very night or that very evening. Brother Danny gave us his testimony Wednesday. If you're not here on Wednesday, you miss some good testimony sometimes. You hear the testimonies of saints, how God has helped them to overcome some things. God helped Danny, Brother Danny, to overcome. Some of us weren't always that easy to overcome certain things. We had to work at it. We had to apply ourselves. God says, I need you to surrender this thing. I need you to crucify this thing. Sometimes that takes some work. We need to learn to overcome. If you're saved and you're victorious, as Brother Walter mentioned, there's been some saints that have been founded pillars in the church of God. They aren't that way because they just started that way. They're that way because they've overcame some things. And they're good foundations of spiritual individuals in the church of God. We have to overcome. You know, not to those that just run well for a little bit. The Bible says, in one verse in Scripture, it says some of you ran well for a while. You did run well. Who hindered you? Somebody hindered you not to overcome. As I said, we have to overcome the enemy, the world, ourselves, and people, peer pressure, families, whatever. We see from the very beginning of Adam and Eve, the very first battle that they had to face that we have written in the Word, they didn't overcome. The Bible says that God made Adam and Eve, put them in the garden, allowed them to take care of it, and he says, and he gave them instructions, you can partake of any part of the tree except the tree in the midst of the garden. I don't want you to partake of that. Leave it alone. And the devil started to deal with Eve, and he overcame and tempted her to a point to where she partook of the tree, and she gave to her husband, and he partook of the tree. And we see that very next time, they seen themselves, they realized that they were naked. Sin came into the picture. They made some cloths to cover them up a little bit. And the very next time God came down, the Bible says God came down in the cool of the day, as he had done in the past. And he's looking for Adam. That's a message sometimes I preach. And that very thought was, Adam, where are you? Calling for Adam. God knew where Adam was. But he come down in the cool of the day. And he said, Adam, where are you? And he was hiding because he did not overcome. Let me tell you what. When we don't overcome, that's what we do sometimes. We hide. Sometimes we hide by not being in church. We hide by not praying. We hide by not being around the saints. Adam and Eve hid. Of course, because they didn't overcome, they were cast out of this garden. James 2:10 says, whosoever shall not keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all. God has to help us to overcome and to be obedient to the entire Word of God. And whatever the Spirit of God, I read to you back here in that other chapter there in verse 11, he that overcometh, let him have, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit said. Do we listen to what the Spirit of God says? I'm going to ask you a question this morning. Let's challenge you a little bit with that thought. Have you ever been going down the pathway of life and the Spirit of God has like almost like that and said, you need to stop that or avoid that right now? I've had it happen to me on multiple occasions. I may not even understand why or whatever, but God said that and I had to heed the Spirit of God. You know what some people do? They override that. And the Bible teaches sometimes people can sear their conscience. The Spirit of God says, I need you to do this, I need you to do that. And they avoid it. And their conscience gets seared. Do we have a tender spirit, tender conscience toward God? Well, I do well most, but there's one thing I offend. God says we have to overcome all things. Adam and Eve didn't overcome. You know, there's some things in my life and in your life, it's easy for me to overcome. I say that cautiously sometimes. I know it's not of me. I know it's by the grace and help of the Lord.
Brother Danny mentioned with Alcohol Wednesday. Thank God he delivered him from that. I've never had to struggle with that. Never had to even struggle with social drinking. Used to go to a wedding or something, they'd have a champagne for a toast. I'm like, it tasted terrible to me. I'm like, I'd rather just drink the water, huh? You know, or I had a Sprite or whatever, you know. I didn't even want to take a sip of it. I just didn't like it, and I thank God for that. I do thank God for that, because that wasn't of me. Because let me tell you, there was a time I struggled to learn to eat oysters. I went off by my side, you know, by myself and tried to eat them and couldn't eat them. It took some time to learn to eat oysters. Now, I love them. I could have done the same with alcohol. Try a little bit. You know, everybody wants to add these little fruity things, fruit drinks, and the taste and all. That's not a battle for me. Some people have to overcome that. Some people have to overcome inappropriate language. Well, every once in a while I have to use foul language, I have to cuss. No, you need to overcome that by the help of the Lord. You need to contain yourself. The Bible doesn't allow us to use, as the Bible talks about, the sweet water and bitter water, the salt water and fresh water run together. No, they don't. They cannot mix. They can't be one of the same. They're separate. God says, I can't be having you giving God praise on Sunday and using foul language during the week. We have to overcome some of those things. We have to overcome all. Not just most of the things, but all. Go over to chapter 21 of Revelation. I'm sorry. I wrote it backwards. Stay back to chapter 3. Stay back to chapter 3. In chapter 3, verse 21 says, to him, this is the last one that Jesus mentioned here, to him that overcometh. And saints, this is one of the purposes that we live for the Lord. To him that overcometh, will I grant to sit with me in my throne. I want to sit with Christ on the throne of God. I preached a message some weeks ago. I don't have any idea what's beyond that. I don't care really what's beyond that. Long as I can sit at the feet of Christ. To him that overcometh, will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcome and sat down with my Father in his throne. We will not have to overcome what Jesus Christ had to overcome. He overcame much greater things than we will ever have to. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 53. In Isaiah chapter 53, we'll pick up in verse 4. Very familiar to most of you. Surely he hath bore our grief and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, afflicted. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own ways, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed, he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and a sheep before the shears is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. Verse 6, the latter part of verse 6, it says, and the Lord hath laid upon him the iniquities of us all. Jesus Christ willingly went to the cross. They didn't put him on there. He laid down and stretched out his arms, and he willingly let them nail him to the cross. And they suspended him. And the Bible says here, Isaiah says in verse 6, and the Lord laid upon him the iniquity, all of our sins. All of our sins, for the sins of mankind from the beginning of Adam and Eve till the last person that's ever going to live in this earth that's been accountable for sin, all of our sins has been put on Jesus Christ. He became that scapegoat. He became that lamb of God. And he stayed there. He had all power. He could have said, you know what? Because there was a period of time where even God had to not look upon the sin. Black in the sky. And Jesus said, my God, why have you forsaken me? I couldn't bear to see the sin that it was bearing on Jesus Christ. He stayed on the cross for you and I. We will never understand and know that great love that Christ did for us on Calvary. And I said, as Jesus said there, and you'll sit with me as I sat with my Father and the throne, you'll be able to sit with me, those that overcome, as I have overcame. Jesus overcame all adversities, all ridicule, embarrassment, the challenge of his authority and who he was. He overcame that. Anytime he could have said, you know what, I'm going back home, we'd still be sacrificing animals. But he overcame. All down through time, saints have battled good and evil. They've had to overcome the evil of the world. And there have been many, and probably still are at this day, we don't know about as much in different countries, but there have been many that have given their life for this gospel. If you don't denounce Jesus Christ and stop serving him, we're going to kill you. We don't know the pressure of overcoming until that's presented to you and I. We're going to take your child, and we're going to toss your child into a place of fire unless you stop serving Christ. Stop going to church. Thank God we don't live in that situation in this country, but we don't know of other countries that still may. Overcome. There have been many that have given their lives for Christ. Let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 2. Second Timothy chapter 2 and verse 4 says, no man that warreth entangle himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. No man entangleth himself with the affairs of this life. If you want to war in this, be in this warfare, Christ has to become number one. Our salvation, our relationship with Jesus Christ has to be first in our life. I know there's things that come up and things, and I'm not talking about that. I know that I've, in my time, some of you in their time, we've known people that Brother Davis used to have a little saying. There's sometimes too, some people are so how do you put it? They're so heavenly minded, they're no earthly good, and that's true. Well, I can't even associate with my family or whatever and things like that. I realize things come up. But in the majority of our lives and things, God needs to be first in our life. Our families need to know he's first in their life. Our close friends need to know he's first. I had the guy at work. He texted me Wednesday, this past Wednesday. He texted me something. I forget what he texted me. He needed some information, my personal information, some something, and my manager at work. And he texted me, and I didn't even get it. I didn't even get it till now. I turn my phone off, usually Sundays and Wednesdays. And I don't turn it on until I get to work sometimes. But I didn't even get the text. And he came in, and he said, did you get my text? And I said, no, I didn't. He goes, I sent you a text. He goes, and as soon as I hit send, he goes, I realized it was Wednesday night and that you were in church. And then he retexts that. Sorry, I realize it's Wednesday night, you're in church, I'll talk to you tomorrow, whatever. People should know where we're at. People should know our dedication to Jesus Christ and him alone first. He says, he that warreth entangleth himself not himself with the affairs of this life. We need to be careful what we get involved in. We've talked about it many times, our children and things. For some reason, Wednesday seems to be a good day to have
soccer, baseball, football, cheerleading, all those things. We're going to do it on Wednesday.
Count me out.
Well, we're going to schedule something for Sunday. Mm-hmm. It's not even a question.
Right.
We're not going to be there.
Hebrews 12 says, lay aside every weight. We can't put things on us. If we're going to overcome, you know, people that are in a race, people that are in a foot race that are running the race, let me tell you what, they've laid aside everything. They not have anything on them that's extra weight, that they may overcome the endurance that they have to put up with the race. Well, the same thing with living spiritually. We can't have anything that's going to affect our spiritual walk with Christ. And there again, what we said back in verse 11 there, as the Spirit teaches us, this is you need to lay aside. You need to put this aside. This is an influence that's affecting you, an influence that's affecting your family or whatever.
Do you even know you're in a warfare? I know that's an odd question to ask, but I put that here. Do you really realize you're in a warfare?
Yeah.
You're in a spiritual warfare. Your spiritual soul is in jeopardy. Revelations calls it the Battle of Armageddon. Some believe that's a war out in the future. I said to you, Revelations is a spiritual application. Some people believe that phrase, the Battle of Armageddon, is coming in the future. That's something that's in the future, and it's going to contain a literal war. The Battle of Armageddon started back in the Garden of Eden from the very first time when God told Adam not to eat of the tree. That was a battle between good and evil, and the serpent, the enemy of the soul, battled them. And it's been, we're in that battle, that conflict, down through time, and we're in it today. It's not in the future. It's not something coming in the future. People believe that God's going to come back one day. He's going to take a rapture up of part of us, and the rest of us are going to stay here. Let me tell you what, when Christ comes back, this time has going to cease. There is no future as far as this world when Christ comes back. And we'll be ushered into heaven, given an account.
Jesus gave a parable of the seed, sower and the seed. Brother Ken made a comment about it Wednesday. And some of the seed fell upon the stony place. I think that's probably one of the most saddest part, I think, myself. Some of the seed fell upon the stony place and it sprung up. People accepted this gospel. But they couldn't overcome the heat of the battle.
It says the seed of the word of God fell upon a stony ground, and they accepted it, and it sprung up quickly. They enjoyed it, but the sun came up. That's the parable. The sun came up, and it got hot, and they withered away. All of us have seen that with a natural plant. I've seen plants, you put them in something, and not a lot of root, not a lot of dirt's there, and they may grow up, and they look beautiful. We struggle with them little pots across the street because of the nutrition's in the thing. You put something, they don't last long because there's not enough nutrition in there sometimes. And the water, and I've got to show up, and sometimes you can tell the water, I can flood those things with water, and the next day when it's hot summertime, that dirt's like dust. They wither away because there's not enough root. And they die because they're not able to overcome. When I think about the 12 spies that went into the land of Canaan, you know the story? Moses sent in 12 spies in the land of Canaan to search out the land and to come back and give the children of Israel a report of what it was like, what the land of Canaan was like. All 12 spies came back with the exact same report. It was a good land. They said it's a wonderful land. A land flowing with milk and honey. And they said, here's the fruit of it. They had to bear the fruit on a stick to bring it back. But 10 of them had a different report other than two. 10 of them said, yes, the land is flowing with milk and honey. The fruit is abundant, but the people are strong. Let me tell you what, saints, the devil is greater than we are. The devil would destroy us like that if not the mercy and the protection of God. He's a great, powerful spirit. Thank God he's going to lose. He's going to lose in the end. And thank God he is completely subject to Jesus Christ's authority. And we follow Christ, and he cannot touch us unless Christ gives him a little bit of leeway. But they said, the people are strong, the cities are great walls, and there are giants in the land. And we are as a grasshopper in their eyes. All 12 of them had a good report, a good land, but 10 of them said, we're not able to go over there because we're not strong enough. And you know what? They were 100% true. You and I are not strong enough to last one day against the enemy of the soul. They had no strength within themselves. They were not warriors. They've been slaves for 400 years. They weren't warriors. They said, we're not able to go. Well, that's very true. But Caleb stopped them. Caleb said to the people, let us go up at once. At once. You can go back over there and read it. I'm reading it word for word as he said there. Let us go up at once and possess it. And he says, for we are well able to overcome it. That encouraged me, but I also sometimes want to slide in with the tens. Sometimes, I don't know, you know, but that encouraged me. But they said, no, we're not able to do it. They couldn't overcome the battle to begin with because they couldn't overcome that. When sometimes we have to overcome, we don't even get to the battle. We have to overcome the confidence that God can give to us to go into the battle. We may not understand the outcome of it. We may not understand how it's going to come out. But we have to overcome the fear, the stress that it puts on us. Lord, I'm going to go forward with you. Abraham could have done that. He could have worried and prayed and fasted and things. So God gave him the grace to go and sacrifice Isaac. But he didn't. He just obeyed God and went on to it. We need to, sometimes God has to help us to overcome before we even get to the battle, to get into the battle. We need, as we said, the thought, we need to overcome the appearance of the battle. They said, they're giants in the land, and we're nothing but grasshoppers. You know, many times the devil will do that. The battle just is overwhelming to us to look at. Just to see the battle in front of us, it's overwhelming. But God can give us the grace to overcome the appearance of the battle, and we can go ahead and get into the battle, and God will give us the grace to overcome the battle. With God's strength, and with the Lord helping us, we can overcome. With the strength that he gives to us and the Lord blessing us and being with us, we can overcome the world. We can overcome our families, peer pressure. You may have a job that God says, I can't allow you to do and be a Christian. There's a lot of jobs out there that you can't do to be a Christian, whether it's a male or a female. You just can't do. God can help us overcome sin in all avenues of our lives. God can help us overcome the enemy of the soul. Tying this in a little bit with the world, but God can help us overcome family. Family is a large thing. I read to you, I think, last week. Jesus says, except a man is not willing to forsake his mother, father, brother, sister, children, and his own life also, he's not willing to be my disciple. We have to overcome our family. Whether you're a young person, when you first got saved, and mom and dad, you know, I'm gonna be a Christian. I'm gonna live for God. And they may be against you. You just have to, and sometimes, you know what? It's just being quiet. You don't have to force, you don't have to fight about it. You just stay steady at it. Sister Ann gave us a testimony Wednesday night also about how she had to overcome with some things when she got saved. She was living in some families that they weren't necessarily church people. There were some dress standards that she had to come under. We have to overcome self. I've mentioned that several times this morning. I want to do things my way. You know, it's amazing. Some people are able to say, Mom and Dad, this is the way I'm going to do things. And if you don't like it, good. Too bad. I'm going on my own way. But when it comes to living for God, sometimes it's a little more hard, they seem to be. We have to overcome self. We have to overcome self. Allow God to direct us. Allow God to mold us and to make us. We have to overcome the standard. There's some standards in the church of God. There's some standards in the Word of God. How we're to dress, how we're to conduct ourselves. Sister Melanie isn't here. She hasn't been saved but about a year. I don't think about a year or so. All the way on the other side of the world, all the way in the Philippines. She's already conducted herself in the dress standard. Come to the standard. Child of God. For however she knew that, but come to understand that there's a dress standard for men and women. There's a dress standard, modesty. We need to overcome. Of course, you know me well enough, almost can't do a message without something dealing with a song. And you probably know where I'm going with what song. Be an overcomer. This is on page 242. I'll read all four verses to you. But the first verse, Brother Naylor, was kind of a little tough. Be an overcomer, only cowards yield. Well, it takes the Spirit of God to help us to overcome. I remember one time Sister Jones was preaching for us. Sister Jones was a black minister, and she was raised in Chicago, really a tough place also. And a lot of young people being influenced by drugs and gangs and that, even back in her time. But I remember I was a young person when she used to come often, and I remember her making a comment one time, and she says, I'd like to take and give some young people some challenges. You think you're tough being in gangs. You think you're tough running drugs. You think you're tough doing some of those things. Let me give you a challenge. Live for the Lord for a year. Let's see who's able to make it. Be an overcomer, only cowards yield. When the foe they meet on the battlefield, we are blood-bought princes of the royal host and must falter not, nor depart our post. We have to overcome that. Be an overcomer. He who stands with you is the mighty one who is always true. In the sorest conflict, you shall win the day, face the legions dark till they flee away. Be an overcomer, you are heaven's heir. A crown of life you may ever wear. So with courage press the battle to the gates till you gain the prize which in heaven waits. Be an overcomer, boldly go. You are strong enough, if you count it so. Look at this next line here. Strong enough to conquer through sustaining grace. And to overcome every foe you face. Overcome in Jehovah's might, put the foe to flight, and the victor's crown you shall wear at last by overcoming. Are we overcoming? Forward, forward. We must go. Job said one time, though he slay me, I'll trust him. Lord, this is difficult. Lord, this is hard. Lord, this battle's trial. Job went through a great thing. He overcame. And he came to the point, he says, though the Lord will even kill me, he slay me, I will trust in him. I will not lose my confidence in God. We read it already and read it a couple times. Jesus said in Revelation 3:21, to him that overcometh, will I grant to sit with me in my throne. That needs to be our desire, saints. Sometimes when we're in the battle, Lord, I don't want to lose my place. Let's go to one more verse of Scripture in John chapter 16. In John chapter 16 and verse 33, this is Jesus speaking. These things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. Jesus says, in the world you shall have tribulation. Not might, not can, not every once in a while. In the world you will have tribulation when you're in this world. Many a times we read those verses, we know those verses are there. Jesus Christ himself said that to us, but sometimes we are kind of surprised when tribulations come up. Lord, why did this happen? I told you it was going to happen. I told you you're going to have tribulation. I told you you're going to have tribulation with your family, with your co-workers, with your neighbors, with the people in the world. Just you're going to have tribulation. You're going to have people looking at you. You're strange. You're unusual. Asking all kinds of things. Here, you want to drink? No, I don't do that. I don't take part of that. I'm a Christian. People think you're strange.
He said, you shall have tribulation.
I thank God Jesus is the captain of the church of the living God.
Yes, amen.
He's the one that leads us. He's the one that directs us. He's the one that helps us. He's the one that encourages us. He's the one that's going to help us win the battle. He's the one that's going to help us to overcome by the grace of God. But we have to believe that. We have to trust in that. We have to overcome by the grace of God. He's our captain. And he has never lost a battle. Not even close.
Mark likes to watch baseball games. I think Mark would rather see the Orioles win 20-0 than 1-0.
Everybody likes to see a slaughter of a game, so to speak. I don't like to see them close ones. It's on edge.
There's never been a close battle with God. Never, not one time. Complete victory all the time. And by the grace of God, he has promised you and I complete victory to overcome as long as we stay with Jesus Christ. May the Lord bless you as I was told.
On page 140,
Give me the
Speaking so tender.